Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friend, Avery Zaretsky. Cody is joining us any second now from Brady's. Is that the bar he was at?
I think so.
I don't remember what it was called.
He lied to the people.
He what?
He lied to the people.
He said Jack Doyle's and he switched up the bars, but yeah. He's been out watching the game at a bar in New York City. I'm out on Long Island. Avery's out in Miami, but no sweat in that game, right? I mean, third period, the Capitals, they have a little bit of an onslaught, but no concerns. And the first thing I want to say, Barclay Goodrow deserves an apology from every Ranger fan that shit on him all year. And listen, like, regular season, call it what you want, but this guy has stepped up, I think, in the first three games in the playoffs. That goal's huge. Great play by Vinny Trocheck, but got to give Barclay Goodrow his flowers. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think the penalty he took was great. I think that...
Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah, but... all aside, that goal changes the entire game completely. He did a fantastic job. But Vinny Trocheck, man, that guy's the reason the Rangers are doing what they're doing right now. It seems like every time he's on the ice, he's on the forecheck, he's on the backcheck, he's making plays on the puck. He's been absolutely incredible, and what a pass to Goodrow.
And a big time, too. I mean, Kreider gets the goal scoring started after John Carlson scores a goal that I think a lot of us might have been a little bit scared about. Igor on the road in game three of the playoffs, it kind of gave you flashbacks of that Penguin series, right, where he just, like, looked shaky on the road. And to give up that first one, the way it went in, it was kind of like, oh, boy, this could be ugly. And then they respond right away.
Dude.
Not sure how fast it was after. How fast was it after the first
one? It doesn't matter. Dude, that's Team of Destiny stuff. When a guy who's been bailing you out for so long – needs
less than a minute
bailout.
It was less than a minute.
When a guy who's been bailing you out for so long needs a bailout and your team gets it right away. I said it. I was at AJ and Alex's apartment where I always watch, and they started freaking out. They're like, what just happened? I'm like, guys, the next shift, we're getting a goal. Like, it's like they are bailing Igor back out. It's happening 100%. It's a Team of Destiny, and they did exactly that. It was unbelievable.
All right, let's bring Cody in here. He has to say,
let me
in. What's going on,
bro? I sprinted down the street to my lobby, so I'm in my lobby right now because it was so fucking loud in there. I couldn't hear.
Can you not turn your camera on? We want to see you.
Well, I just walked in. Okay, hold on,
bro.
Dude, I'm on StreamYard guest, so I don't really.
All right, no worries.
All right.
You're good. Yeah. How was the bar? You said people recognized you. What was going on? Give us the scene.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I got a couple of people came up to me, said they appreciate the pod, and we always appreciate the fans. It's always a good time. And one dude was gushing over the Gretzky hat. Love that shit. Uh-huh. Shout out to our boy Ty, mine and Avery's,
Dude,
it was electric, bro. It was electric.
Cody, so for all the listeners, Cody texted me before the playoffs. He's like, "Hey, I know you're superstitious. We both have the same. We both have the same 99 hat. We should both wear it throughout the playoffs and just kind of have it be our thing." So I'm like, all in on it. I'm wearing it right now. And
99 hat that I fucking had.
Johnny hooked me up with the hat.
Bitching
Johnny
about not having one.
And I text Cody before every game, just like hat check with a picture of the hat. And he texted us before with a picture of him and his son. Very cute picture. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't wearing the hat.
Very cute.
He wasn't wearing the hat. He wasn't wearing the hat. And I was like, and I did a double take. I was like, there's no way he just went to the bar and he's not wearing the hat for the game. And then with like 2 minutes before the game, he sends a picture of his hat. The guy takes two hats to the bar. What kind of psycho does that?
That's not what happened. What actually happened is the Brady's is across the street from my apartment. So I was out since 4:30. I was grabbing drinks with a couple buddies and I was in my gear ready. And then Jackie and Griffin met us out. And then I went back to my apartment to freshen up, grab my hat and all the good stuff. And then I left. So I was just trolling you and fucking with you.
I love you.
I didn't think you'd actually catch on, but you did. I'm very impressed your attention to detail.
Dude, because I swear, like, don't mess with superstition, Like, we've talked about how it doesn't really have an effect, and we all like to believe it does. But don't bring it up and then mess with it. So it almost broke up the podcast. I will say I actually would not have talked to you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to leave in 2 minutes because I'm about to go out. But the two things I want to say is, did we talk about Vinny Trocheck and Chris Kreider yet? Because honestly, they are the two. They're him. They're him. Those two. I mean, honestly, they're just Chris Kreider. You can always count on every single game. He played fantastic tonight. And Vinny Trocheck.
Didn't they say last show? What was about the scoring with Kreider that you said last show?
I said. I just hope that late in the playoffs he comes to play. And right now he's doing everything. So I'm not. I never said that Chris Kreider was bad. Mm-hmm. I just said that as it gets late in the playoffs, he hasn't performed like he does early in the playoffs. But I love what I'm seeing so far.
Dude, yeah, and Vinny Trocheck, I mean, honestly, just unbelievable by this guy. He was a hound all night long. He played great, loved his game. He scored one. He was all over the ice. And
Tony, you said he's the heart and soul right now. What do you think?
Absolutely. I would say it's a combination between him and Kreider, because I feel like every single shift Kreider's playing right now, he's playing with grit and he's incredibly noticeable. But absolutely, Vinny Trocheck is driving this team right now from top to bottom. And you know who else is? You know who else is kind of getting down with it a little bit? Who's not in the scene? Keandre Miller. He's been great. He's been all over the ice and he has been driving this team as well from a defensive end. And obviously have to give a shout out to my boy Loft, the second assist king. So
I don't think he got one tonight, though.
No, he did. He did. I think on that first goal.
No, it was the first
dude,
goal.
I'm pretty sure
Kreider,
the Mikko Kreider.
Kreider.
Oh, it was
Rosavik.
Oh.
Yeah, it was Rosavik.
That's your boy, no, though. Hey, speaking of Rosavik, first of all, that whole entire first line's been great.
Loft had Rosavik five shots. Awesome. He led our team. Yeah, Rosavik's been amazing, dude. Rosavik's been amazing.
Yeah, I really like Roslovic's game. He's been in on the forecheck. He's been stealing pucks. There was one shift where it looked like the Rangers were just going to give the puck away. He goes in the corner, picks the pocket, makes a nice little turn, and the Rangers get a great opportunity. But it seems like every time Roslovic's on the ice, he's skating in with speed. He's forechecking. He's not making soft plays on the puck. He's really, honestly, been fantastic.
Yeah.
Cody, I wanted to say something quick about Keandre before we just move on from that. Before game two, I was sitting in on like the press conference with Spencer Carberry, and Spencer Carberry specifically like called out Keandre in like a positive way. So this was just a quote that we got from Carberry. He was talking about just things his team needed to change between games one and game two. And, you know, I haven't heard anything tonight. Obviously we're recording right after the game. I'm not at the game, but this is what the quote was. We're going to have to hunt some pucks. We're going to have to beat some people to the inside. We're going to have to handle the pressure of Keandre Miller in order to get out of that situation without giving him the puck immediately back and letting him come back at us. So I don't want to say they're like threatened by Keandre Miller, but they're aware of Keandre Miller when he's out there.
Yeah, bro. He is a gnat, dude. He like locks down top guys and pokes the puck from them. He's just all over the place. And I think it's a rarity that you see on the ice in today's game. And the last thing I'll say, because then I do have to jump, is, you know, I know Panarin kind of had a rough game tonight, and I also think Wedberg kind of had a rough game. I don't know.
I like that line. I thought that line was good tonight.
I thought Cooley was great, and I thought you know the wings were great, but I wasn't that impressed with Wedberg tonight. But the very last thing I'll say is LFGR. Let's fucking get this sweep. And Barclay Gaudreau, I'm so sorry. All right, love you boys.
Love you, Cody. I would agree on the Wenberg part. I feel like he did have a couple turnovers, but overall the third line played well. And
better
I think
than last
that,
game. Last game, I didn't think they played great.
Yeah, and I think that Panarin, listen, you want him to do special things every night, but I thought that with how many penalties we took, there just wasn't, and you mentioned in the chat, like there just wasn't any flow. I think he only had maybe three or four shifts in the third period, it felt like. So
he only had 17 minutes of ice time, I think, around there.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time.
Yeah, 17-14 was his ice time.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time Panarin's had under 20.
And just to put that in perspective, like Vinny Trocheck had 25 minutes of ice time. Kreider had 17 because of PK. Who else was like a leader? Zibanejad had 19. The ice time like felt pretty low. Gaudreau had 13, you know, compared to Rempe's 5, and where's Vizi? Vizi had 12 minutes as well. So yeah, Beasley, like Jimmy Beasley had more ice time than Kako.
Yeah, it just felt like a low night time wise for Panarin. And then he showed it in the third period. He had a couple great shifts. Like, I have no worries about him. He'll be fine.
Yeah, it's a flow thing. But what we've also skipped over so far, which I'm sure is the topic of conversation right now around anyone who does a Ranger podcast or anyone who does a national podcast, and that's the Matt Rempe hit, obviously. So many mixed feelings. I had Capitals fans coming at me on Twitter. I thought it was a good hit. I know the TNT panel said it was a good hit. Wayne Gretzky said, if anything, it was maybe a little bit late. I'm not going to say I disagree with Wayne Gretzky ever, but you know, I think the majority from the outside perspective thought that's a good hockey hit. Like, when you go back to retrieve a puck as a defenseman, you have to be aware and check your surroundings. Not once did Trevor Van Riemsdyk check his shoulder to see who was coming from that left side, and Rempe, you know, got him a second after he got rid of the puck. Like, that's a playoff hockey hit, and he's a big guy. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to talk about the head contact or whatever. I don't know if that's going to be hearing worthy. But from what I gathered, and you know, I try to not be so biased as much as I can, but to me, that's a good fucking hit. Like, I don't know what you thought of it right away.
Yeah, I agree. The guy is trying to be a spark plug out there, and I get there's been situations where it hasn't looked good at all. He's 6'8". It's very tough to not hit guys high without doing what he's doing. Like, he's just putting his body into Van Riemsdyk there, and it looks high because Van Riemsdyk's head is at his chest. Like, it's just, what is he supposed to do? Like, what are you going to just ban him from you're going to ban tall guys from the league because every hit that they lay is going to look high because they're just significantly taller than the other guy? I completely agree. You got to keep your head up, and it definitely looks it looks less worse if Van Riemsdyk has his head up there and braces for that hit, 100%. He was just like a ragdoll because he wasn't even looking. I think that Rempe's trying to be a difference maker out there with the minimal ice time that he has. And like I said,
smart on Laviolette too. He only got 7 shifts in the game. Like, you know, once you saw Tom Wilson kind of going after him and trying to bait him in, like, listen, there's no reason for Rempe to fight to give the Capitals fan something to cheer about, to give Tom Wilson something to feel good about. Like, he's definitely learned a little bit, and Laviolette's doing a great job at controlling him and keeping him a little bit composed. But sorry, just finish your thought. I just want to throw that in there.
No, that's the one thing, and I want you to clip this. Everyone's like, oh, you know, Rempe's got to answer Wilson there when he's shoving him. No, he doesn't. The Rangers are up 2-1. Rempe, in our eyes, laid a completely clean hit. Why would he ever have to answer that and give any hope to the Capitals crowd? Because you know it's going to bring them back into the game. They're up 2-1. They're playing great hockey. There's no reason for Rempe to fight there. If Wilson wants a fight, go hit somebody else. Go make some noise somewhere else. But you can't just expect Rempe to fight just because he's the big guy that laid a clean hit on Trevor Van Riemsdyk. I just think that was ridiculous.
I'm also going to plug in what the NHL and TNT panel had to say about the hit. Because, you know, like I said, Biz thought it was a good hit. Anson thought it was a good hit. Wayne Gretzky said it was a good hit. And I think that's important to hear from those guys too, because they have no dog in the fight, right? So it's not like us just being biased.
And that was what occurred in the first period. Trevor Van Riemsdyk, he gets a penalty on this one, 2 minutes for interference. What do you think of the hit? Because Van Riemsdyk left the ice and he has not returned.
I think the hit's okay. Matt Rempe's a big guy. He's a fast guy. He's a physical guy. You have to know who's on the ice. You know, Keith Yandel said it all the time. It's scary going back for knowing you've got a player like Rempe on the ice, but you have to have your head up. He turned the wrong way, Biz. I thought the hit was okay.
I agree with you. I thought it was clean. I think he goes in on the forecheck. Got to be aware who's on the ice. Just tough for Washington right now. They had no Sandin, no Jensen, and now no Van Riemsdyk. So that's three of their better defensemen out of the lineup right now. It's going to be a lot of weight on John Carlson moving forward.
Yeah, I thought it was a clean hit. I just was a little bit worried that maybe it was a touch late. But had the Washington player had his head up, he would have saw him coming. And if you don't see him coming, you hear him coming. And if you don't hear him coming, you got to know he's on the ice.
Well, your teammate's yelling at you.
Somebody's got to be yelling.
Heads up. Yeah, something. Heads the goalie, your defensive partner, or someone.
He's a big train out there. There's no question about that.
He's huge, and he's been a wrecking ball on the ice so far. Trevor Riemsdyk, like, no update on him at this point.
And, you know, what?
No, I've called Rempe out before. I'm being completely unbiased here. I think in playoff hockey, that's a completely clean hit. You got to let that play. And listen, if you're going to give him a penalty, sure. But I don't know, man. I think that they need to tone it down on Rempy a little bit. He's just playing his game. And I think that when there are illegal hits and he does, you know, stick out his elbow, we'll call him out on it. But right now, there's no reason why he should have been called out for a bad hit there.
Did you watch the pregame show on TNT also or no?
No, I did not.
I wanted to ask you if your mind had changed at all from the Boyle clip from Morning Cup of Hockey at all this morning.
No, I didn't watch. I didn't watch the pregame. I mentioned that, you know, you were talking on Morning Cup of Hockey about how Brian Boyle was saying that Alexi Lafreniere has benefited off of Matt Rempy. And I think that the way I took it got a little bit misconstrued. Like, obviously,
well, it got misconstrued by everyone. It wasn't just you. So,
right. And I think that
Boyle thinks that having Rempy around makes Lafreniere better, which is something that, you know, I'm a big Lafreniere guy. Anyone who listens to this show knows.
Well, I just drew a correlation to what he did in the playoffs 2 years ago. I thought he was ready. And then, again, he didn't regress. It's not a straight line. It's not linear, the development and being effective. And there's a lot of scrutiny on him because he's a first overall pick. And I don't think it's just him either. I think it helped Kako. It helped Filippito. That whole line played great. And Ryan Reaves was on the ice. Ryan Reaves was there. Ryan Reaves was a big part of that. And you can look at the stat sheet after a game and see 7 minutes, you know, four hits, one shot on goal, you know, one giveaway and say, you know, we could put anyone in there and do that. But when it does to that third line at the time or whatever it was, quote unquote, third line in 2022, it was these guys were playing like they were 4 inches taller and 30 pounds heavier. Like they had a certain swagger about them. You need to be emotionally invested in games. So whether or not you are in some games, that guy's going to make you get there because he's going to turn it into a circus, and he can skate and he can play. He gives the other guys more room too, because they're worried about 73. When you got a first overall who's finding his game and can drive play now, just growing into that right in front of your eyes.
Listen, there's no correlation skill wise to Rempy and Lafreniere. Lafreniere is a first overall pick. He has a ton of skill. He was going to get better every year. I do agree that when Rempy's in the lineup, it allows the team to play with a little bit more swagger, 100%.
That's all Brian Boyle was trying to say. And I'm only asking you because the TNT crew in the pregame, you know, I think it was Anson who was saying the Rangers have played a little bit taller. And Gretzky was like, they play a little bit more confident. Like, you know, it's guys with that knowledge that are recognizing what Rempy does. And I know, listen, I don't know if the Rempy chance in the garden and the way that he's been, you know, so polarizing is so warranted, but there is a significant difference in how this team has played since he's joined.
The and Rempy Wilson
Trocheck in the post game, you know, no, I just, you heard it from Vinny Trocheck in the post game. You know, he talks about, he can't help but smile when he's talking about the kid, you know? And I think that's something that's so, you know, the word that's been throwing around lately is galvanizing. Like Anson Carter asked Vinny Trocheck about that 5-on-5 line brawl and what it did to galvanize the team. And Trocheck was like, well, it's been really fun watching it. I don't know if he needs to fight every time, but.
Troch, it's Ace. Really good game. I'd like to go back to that game you guys played against New Jersey. You had that 5-on-5 brawl. How big a moment was that for your team in terms of galvanizing the group? Because it looked like Washington was trying to, you know, get physical in this game. You guys came together. You guys weren't having any of it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that was a lot of fun. Everybody had a good time watching that. Remps obviously has been, I mean, what can you say about Remps? Since he's been in the lineup, it's been, he's brought energy every single night. He's doing his job. He's doing what the coach says. Stuff like that. The fights, we don't need him to fight every night. Obviously, we know he can. He stepped up in the first 5 games he was playing in the NHL and fought against some of the toughest guys in the league. But the way he brings energy, he gets in on the forecheck, that brings energy to our team.
How much energy did your team get for a brief moment there when you saw Igor going for that goal?
I had energy for sure. I would have sellied like it was 94.
Listen, man, really appreciate the time. Congrats on the win. Good luck.
Great game.
Thank you, guys.
He brings our group a lot of energy. And listen, I'm also saying this too, because I'm actually calling someone out here. My cousin Jason, who's been on the show before, fucking text me every time Rempy does something. He's like the biggest Rempy hater, doesn't get it at all. And every time I have to shut him up and be like, the team's winning and the guy's in the lineup and he's effective. Like, if you don't like that the fans are cheering about it, like fucking cry about it. Like it's bringing people joy and it's bringing the team fucking wins. Like I don't get why there are so many complaints about him. And I'll just defend him because I think it's been such an uplifting presence, just not only in the locker room, but like around the whole league. It's been wild. And the Rempe hit tonight, you know, you watch the rest of that game, Tom Wilson's thrown off his game. He's just focused on Rempe.
Right.
You know, and a lot of the other guys are, you know.
I was just going to say, and I think you made a great point. And if you want to micromanage Matt Rempe's impact for the New York Rangers, go watch what Tom Wilson was trying to do with him tonight.
Yeah.
That's exactly you're talking about a kid who's playing his first year in the league and a really good veteran is completely off his game because he's trying to fight this young kid who laid a completely clean hit and did nothing wrong in 99% of the hockey world's eyes. So he's doing everything right now. And I think like the penalties aren't great in certain aspects, but what he's brought to this team, what he's given this team to get a guy, I couldn't believe it. You're down 2-1 and I get you're trying to bring your building back, but picking a fight with the young kid.
Well, what's he going to do? What else is he going to do? He's trying to impact the game somehow.
But go,
you can't blame Wilson for trying to fight Rempe there. He hurts.
I know, but the fact that he's in his head that deep, like go lay a big hit
he's
and then
to
have
spark
someone,
his team a bit.
But go lay a big hit and have somebody else respond. Like, don't just try to pick a random fight.
I don't blame Wilson there. I can't blame Wilson there.
I do. I think Rempe's completely in all their heads. It's
well,
it's
he is.
Crazy.
He is. But yeah, but if you're Wilson, you're gonna go. Who are you gonna go pick a fight with?
I'm saying, don't try to pick a fight with somebody. Go lay a big hit and have somebody pick a fight with you. Like you're gonna get a fight if you go lay a big hit or cause a scene versus trying to get a guy who you know is probably
You'd
not.
Rather Wilson lay somebody out? What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm saying,
are you lost in you're lost in your own thought here? Aren't
no,
you?
I think you're lost in what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, so explain it better. Yeah,
I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson should not have gone after Rempe there because A, Rempe's not going to fight up 2-1. It's just not going to happen. B, it completely shows his lack of mental toughness.
The rent-free.
In this series. Completely rent-free. Like, if you want to go start a fight, go hit somebody hard. Like, I'm this is me and Tom Wilson, and you're a veteran. You understand this. Don't try to pick on the kid. It's not going to work, especially down 2-1.
Are we clipping this and tagging Tom Wilson?
No, don't. But it makes sense. Am I?
Yeah.
Does it not?
I mean, I wouldn't go tell Tom Wilson to lay one of our guys out over picking a fight with Matt Rempe. But if that's what you want to do, go for it.
Well, if he wants to get his team back in the series, he should. I don't want him to do it. But
well, no, Rempe's obviously, you know, he's a target. And like we said, too, Panarin was hearing the boos every time he touched the puck, as expected. But how about TJ Oshie, man? Like, credit to him. I don't know if you heard that interview as well.
Yes, I did. I did see that. Yeah. That was awesome.
Who joins us now. TJ, thanks so much. Biz, you're up first, pal.
Osh, I'm going to be honest. I thought you guys got the short end of the stick on calls last game, specifically that Panarin hit. How do you guys plan on emotionally resetting for game three in a must-win situation?
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I thought the Panarin hit was good. I think I love that. I think that's the way it should be called. When you get through someone's body, obviously sometimes you can hit that head on accident, but I kind of like that style of play.
TJ Oshie in the pregame saying, like, that's a good hit. That's how hockey should be played. Like, he could have easily went the other direction, right? Like, you know, so kudos to TJ Oshie for saying that. Like, and Carberry too, like, the issue that I have in this series is that I'm, like, not, like, as a fan, like, I'm not nervous at all. So there's no, like, inner hatred toward the Capitals for me. And I actually find them to be very likable, which I'm having a problem with because Carberry is such a great speaker, so insightful, a pleasure to talk to, like, as a media member. Like, he takes the time, gives you the answer, like, and actually gives you, like, X's and O's and what they're actually trying to do to get back in the series. And then you have Oshie, who kind of, you know, is the bigger man of some sorts and owns up to what everyone else has been debating for the last 2 days and says, like, that's a good hit by Panarin. I mean, like, yeah, Tom Wilson has done a few things maybe, but outside of that, like, this is like the Capitals, you know, they're kind of a likable team, I feel like, even though they're dog shit. Like, you know, like, you got to give them a little bit of credit for at least putting up a fight. I mean, honestly, though, outside of Ovechkin looked disinterested out there tonight. Like, I know he had 4 shots on goal. He only had 1 in the last 2 games, but I feel like in the past we've seen Ovechkin be the guy to take a run, throw a big hit, like, you know, be a spark plug when he's not scoring goals. Like, he hasn't done any of that. And I'm kind of surprised by it. I mean, I want to say I'm surprised by it, but I know he's on the older side. But this team now, like, you know, you're going into game 4 and I don't know. I don't think they even have a response. I don't know what they're going to do coming out of the gate in game 4. Do they even go with Charlie Lindgren? Do they start Darcy Kuemper? Like, what do you do here to change something up if you're the Caps? Like, I have no idea what the answer is for them. There is none. The Rangers are so much better. They are.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, top to bottom, there's no line that's better that they have. There's no defensive pairing. Our goalie's better. Like, they don't have one spark right now.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying in terms of likability. I've always liked TJ Oshie. I mean, he's an American hero, but I've always liked him for the way he spoke, for what he's done on and off the ice. He's been great. And I think honestly the only guy that I really dislike most out of anybody in the league is Tom Wilson. But other than that, it's tough to hate on a team that's just getting bullied right now.
Yeah. And I want to read out our buddy Fitz, his tweet. I just saw this. He said, "I don't care what the stats or other folks say. There has not been a single stretch of this series where I've thought the Caps could compete with the Rangers. Even in the third period there when they had basically turtled up, felt like the Caps got one good chance. Wrap this motherfucker up in 4. You know, I think now that you look over at the Capitals series, like, the Rangers are watching other games. You know, they're paying attention to what's happening around the East. And they know that they don't want to get themselves into a 5-6, you know, God bless their hearts if it goes 7, possibly. Bro, which we're not talking about it, obviously. We're not really giving the Capitals a chance here.
Don't.
You know what I mean? Like, they're looking at the other side, and they're going to say, this is a team that's going to be very fresh. We have to get this done. We have to. You know, so in game 4, you know, I thought, and you thought this too, game 3 was the one game that we were concerned about. You know, it's going into the other building. They're going to feed off their home crowd for the first time, which they did in the opening couple minutes. But then, you know, Kreider, Mika, Roslovic kind of shut the crowd up. And from that moment on, it seems like this is just, you know, the Capitals don't really have much to play for here, you know? So I'm sure they're a little dejected in that room, but game 4, I'm expecting a pretty dominant effort from the Rangers again, you know? Trying to think what else to take away from that game. Igor was great.
Aside from that first
goal, obviously, so many big saves. That one on Strom. Who do you make that backdoor save on in the second period? Like that right leg save.
He just looks so, like, the thing about Igor that's so awesome is he hasn't really seen that many crazy chances in the series up until this game. So that first goal, I was like, there's no, like, he just hasn't really seen much this series. So it wasn't anything to be concerned about. And he looked so calm. That one play, it was a cross ice pass to Wilson and he just deflected away with his stick. Like, that was the calmest reaction to such a scary type of play that we've seen over and over again. Rangers let up and he just made it look effortless, get away. And he almost scored. That was crazy.
That would have been sick.
Oh my God.
Any final thoughts going into, I guess, you know what? So here's a couple questions that have come up, I guess, to me in general. And actually, you know what? We don't really have any fan questions today because we kind of just hopped on right after the game, but I think we have one. I'll read out the one question that we have. And then I have like 2 topics to bring up that I was talking about at the Islander game last night. Oh, we do actually have a couple of responses here. All right, we got 4 questions. So first one from David Roth, who always comments, very loyal follower. Do you feel the bias from the refs Rempe is receiving will make Laviolette apprehensive and play him less games than he otherwise would? So this is actually a question I was going to ask you anyway. Do you see any potential in Johnny Brodzinski getting in over Rempe in the next game just to kind of protect Rempe from maybe any suspension, any potential fight. What do you think of it? To me, like, it's a winning lineup. I don't change a thing. You got to let the kid learn. He's going to be in this situation, you know, next round and the round after that, hopefully, and hopefully the round after that. I think the only way you learn is from experience. I'm not taking Rempe out of this lineup in game four, but what do you think? I feel like there will be a lot of mixed decisions about this.
Yeah, I'll answer both. I think that you keep Rempe in 100%, right? You got to, like, let him keep playing games, let him keep seeing ice time. Because in the minimal time that he gets, he has to continue to perform and show that he can stay out there with these guys. And he hasn't shown me that he shouldn't be in this lineup so far. And I think that especially down the stretch of game four, if the Rangers are up big, like protecting our players, making sure that, you know, nobody's getting in any situation where they can get hurt, I think you 100% keep him in. And then I also think that in terms of bias, I don't really think any of the refs are biased. I do think that,
well, there's a target on his back for sure.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I do think that when he is on the ice, they definitely look at things a little bit longer and they kind of watch him a little bit more. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to look and say that the refs have bias, but there are situations that the Rangers put themselves in this game that made me feel like they could have been a little bit better. Like, is there really a reason to cross-check a guy in the numbers when he's against the boards? It was kind of a flop.
I thought the Cooley hit was pretty bad too, actually. People had, like, you know, mixed reviews on that one. Yeah. I was like, that's a vulnerable position. And there's something to be said about a defenseman putting themselves in a vulnerable position, but you got to recognize that as a forward too.
Right. Like, I think, listen, when a guy has his back turned against the wall, like,
well, he turned into it on the Cooley one. Are you talking about Gaudreau?
I'm talking about Gaudreau first.
Yeah,
right?
That was worse.
Like, you have a guy turn his back against the wall. Yeah, did it look like he flopped a little bit? Sure, but you'd want your guy to do that. You'd want, you know, you're down 3-1. You'd want your guy to put themselves in a position to draw a penalty and get your team back on the board. And it was a ticky tack call, but just don't do that, right? Like, there's just no reason. You're up 3-1. Like, if you have to let him play the puck a little bit, you can just poke it away. There, I don't really see a reason why we're cross-checking guys in the numbers, even if it's light. I think who else got called for that? Lindgren got called for that in front of the net too. Like, I get there's puck battles and whatnot, but in certain situations, there's really no reason to take those kind of penalties, especially when we're playing a team like Washington that we've been able to keep to the perimeter most of the game anyways. Mm.
All right, next one from @Leafy_Green1. Kreider, Zib, Roz were money tonight. Do you think the focus coming into the playoffs has been on the Panarin line, in turn opening opportunity for the first line? I think Roz probably had one of his most noticeable games. Cody already responded, yes, sir, in all caps. The focus is most definitely on the Trocheck, Panarin, Lafreniere line. But with that said, too, like, I just think Mika, Kreider, and Rossovic have been way more engaged. And I don't know if – I'm not saying they were – disengaged necessarily in the regular season, but, you know, there were games where Rossovic, you know, looked a little bit, you know, maybe his mind was just somewhere else. Kreider sometimes, you know, you don't really see engaged every shift. Mika got a lot of shit this year, but he was always noticeable to me. Like, I think people said he was invisible, but I didn't think so about Zibanejad. And, you know, these first three games, those three have been flying.
And I also think that this is kind of like a slow team, the Capitals. So they haven't really been able to catch them in certain spots because, like, on the rush, because they've just been slow up the ice and they've been kind of playing back a little bit versus, like, if the Rangers end up playing Carolina, which I don't see how they wouldn't.
Yeah, pulls up 3-0. Like, I don't
right.
see
anyway. Yeah, it's not happening. It's going to be a big time run and gun game, and the Rangers, that second line or first line, whatever you want to call it, with Panarin, Trocheck, and Lafreniere would probably benefit more off of a run and gun game where they can kind of open up the ice. They really haven't had a lot of opportunity to carry the puck in. They've been dumping and chasing. I just spit all over my computer. I'm yapping a lot tonight. I don't know, man. I'm just tired. But yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that the run and gun game will benefit them a little bit more.
Mm. This is a statement from Aiden Rowain, not a question, but a statement. I was in the building tonight and we have the best fans in the world, took over the building. Love to hear that, because Capital One Arena could be a tough place to play from a lot of players' perspectives. I've never seen a game there, so I can't really focus or touch on it. But, you know, just something I've heard around the league, obviously. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
No, it's definitely one of the harder places to play for sure. It's loud. They always play the bell, and their horn is loud. It's definitely a tough place to play. So appreciate everybody who showed up there. It was nice. I heard some Igor chants at the end, some Let's Go Rangers chants. It was awesome. Love.
And here's the last. What's up?
I said I love when the Rangers fans show out.
Of course. And here's the last topic we'll touch on. It's a question that will lead into this topic. At MDTEP1214, if/when Phil comes back, you'd assume Rempe comes out. But if Rempe is out, do we worry about guys taking liberties with Phil? I don't know if that's how it works. I don't think people will just run a heel. But the thing I wanted to talk to you about, I was talking to Fouche with MSG and Arthur Staple with The Athletic at the Islander game last night about Phil Hedel. Fouche mentioned, if the Rangers go up 3-0, do you put Hedel in essentially as a warm-up game for round two? And Arthur and I were like, not the best idea. You don't throw him into the middle of a series when a team is going to fight for their life in the last game. And if shit doesn't go well, you're putting him in a pretty bad situation. If anything, you hope they win the game. And if you want to play him, you start him fresh in a round two, a series that's just beginning, and you see what happens. But then on the flip side, here's my thinking. If the Rangers do go on to win game four and sweep this series, why would you change this lineup? Like, I'm not saying Phil can't be helpful. Phil can definitely be impactful, but you're not sure how physical he could be. You're not sure what will happen if he takes a big hit just yet. And if the Rangers are winning, like, there's not, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? Like, I want to see Philip Hedel play, of course. You know, he's a great player. He's effective. But I also think there's something to be said about keeping a winning formula intact. And I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
but I will say too. So another thing he said was, like, if you lose game four, do you let Hedel play in game five at home? And maybe that first shift, when people see him on the ice in the home crowd, they go fucking nuts. Like, I think playing him on the road does nothing, especially in this game four. But I could see the argument for, like, you know, Hedel being on the ice in game five, the energy in the garden. Not that it's bad ever, but, like, it would be a step up a little bit just seeing him out there. But again, I think I fall on the side of, like, they're winning games. There's not really a concern. Don't change anything unless you absolutely have to. Because the worst thing that could happen, and I guess it's hockey, anything could happen. This could happen no matter what. But the worst thing to me, it would be so dejecting and so deflating, I think, if Hedel just gets in a game. And, man, it's not my job to be scared for the guy, but, like, you don't want to see him get hurt again. You know, he hasn't played a game since November 2nd.
It's such an interesting scenario. It's tough,
right?
I don't understand the Rangers' angle on this.
I don't think there's any right answer really either. Like, the team's
I feel like
they won the President's Trophy without him, you know?
I feel like they're answering his wishes, right? His wishes are, I want to be with the team, I want to skate, I want to this. But I also feel like they're skeptical about bringing him into a situation where that could end up bad, right? Like, I think that they said he cleared himself, and that the doctors,
he's participating as if he's fully healthy and ready to go,
right? So I think that,
but I think there's still a conditioning stint happening too,
right? Like, I think that he wants to play and the Rangers want him to play, but they're also feeling the same way as us.
Closed door conversations. Like, yeah.
Right. So I don't know. It's very interesting scenario. I agree with the whole, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But I also think Philip Hedel is a necessity.
He can help the team in the long run.
Yeah. As a necessity. Absolutely. So it's going to be very interesting, but to have that expendable, you know, you can bring Rempe in whenever you want type deal is pretty nice too. And to have a guy like Philip Hedel who can come in and perform right away too would be nice. So I'm very interested, super intrigued. I don't know what's going to happen, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
And I think it's also a different story too when you talk about the Rangers playing Carolina. Like, you know, I watched Carolina play against the Islanders, and they're definitely a beatable team. You know, they're fast, but they're beatable. Freddie Anderson has been excellent. Not that the Islanders challenge him so much because they don't have that much skill offensively, but I thought the Islanders in two out of three games in that series have arguably been the better team. You know, game two was rough for them, but game one, they had a chance. Tie game in the third. They played a pretty strong road game. Could have came away on top. Game three, you know, that start is tough. Sorokin has a really tough go. You know, lets in, I don't want to say two bad goals, but two goals that he could have easily had. And the third one was even worse and so deflating. And it's a tough hole to come back from. But, you know, I'm going to game four tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock puck drop. And, you know, I think it's cool for me to watch Carolina and just kind of like see what I feel like the Rangers can exploit, which isn't a lot against the Carolina team. But because they're PK, honestly, like I have a little bit of concerns about the Rangers power play against Carolina's PK. They are so aggressive. It's insane. The Islanders have such a hard time setting up. But like my concern about Carolina before the playoffs isn't as much now after watching them play the Islanders.
Yeah, I also think that having Vinny Trocheck, who played for Rod Brind'Amour, will help them significantly in terms of like they probably haven't changed their system that much. And Vinny definitely has some insight on how they run their PK. And the Rangers know they've played Carolina in recent years and beat them. But you are right. It is a scary penalty kill. And Vinny Trocheck was one of the guys that was killing us on the penalty kill for Carolina. So there definitely is some concern there. But let's just close out this series, get this done, and then we'll have to worry about that.
But yeah, that's about it for this episode. We got Sunday night, 8 o'clock puck drop. So we'll probably record Monday afternoon and Monday night.
It's so crazy. I'm usually so wired after a game. It's not like this game was boring, but it's just like it's so much slower, it feels like, than I'm used to for like the Rangers aspect. Like the game just felt slow, and obviously the third period was boring. The Rangers didn't really do much. They just kind of played keep away and played a tight, sound defensive game. So,
I think you're not wired because, dude, this is the first series I can remember since that Thrasher series where I have no nervous energy at all.
Yeah,
I'm not really on the edge of my seat. You know,
no, only power play, because obviously, like we have the puck the whole time and we're passing around for a chance to score. But other than that, like AJ's couch is like it's like an L, and then the extended part of the L is where I sit always, and I'm so like
you're lounged.
I'm just laid back the entire game, and I can't remember like when the Rangers score, they both stand up, and I'm just like out with my hand out like that. Like there hasn't really been one moment where I've like jumped up and really celebrated.
It just there's just no, you know, it just doesn't feel like there's no worry. No worry in New York, right? It's been no quit in New York. No worry in New York. That's what we'll call this fucking episode,
bro. You know what you need to do, and then
or no stress off. In New York.
You need to find out where the teeth out thing came.
They won't tell you. They won't tell you. Last year it was time to eat, and when you ask the question, that it's all like, you know, the answer is that's
it's definitely like an inside joke that
Well, yeah, obviously they just say like that's within the room and that's gonna stay there. Like it's not like it's, you know,
it's got to be some funny story.
Yeah, well, you know, I think they have a saying every year. You know, like it was
100%
years ago. It was time to eat last year. It's teeth out this year. I don't know, but any final thoughts here before we wrap it up?
Nope. LGR, baby.
Isn't it LFGR?
Oh shit, dude. See, I'm tired.
Yeah, you're tired.
Like, who does it?
LFGR.